Thanks for that singing, and good to have you here on this Mother's Day. Before we get into the message, it's going to be on Psalm 100 today, in regards to Mother's Day. This last year, I don't know if you caught it on television last year, but evangelist Billy Graham died, and Sharon and I, since we're retired and we can do what we want, we were able to watch the funeral service on television, and it was an awesome reflection of his ministry. Many came to speak in his behalf. His family, his kids came up and we're given some few little stories related to their relationship with him. And I was really motivated to watch that. I was just had a heart full of praise because it was the ministry of Billy Graham that, because of his ministry, my mom was saved. And she read one of his first books, and then she was watching black and white TV back then. And I was 10, so it would have been late 50s, 59, like that. And she said she was watching one of his crusades on television and heard the gospel. And in our living room, she trusted Christ as her Savior, and it changed our family. And that's how it all started. And for many years, my dad drove truck, and the job that he had was a kind of like a 3 to 11 job, so we didn't see him much because of that. We'd go to school, come home, and then he'd leave for work. And we may or may not even passed him in the meantime there. And then when he got home, we were all in bed, or supposed to be in bed. And so my mom's influence had probably the greater influence on our lives in those years. And it was a challenge to have a couple of boys there, and she tried to have family devotions, and that was very difficult because sometimes we didn't cooperate very much. But it's because of her coming to know Christ as her personal Savior that the change began there, and then eventually we started going to church, and then we just went on from there. And I was so grateful for Billy Graham and his ministry because it touched our family personally, and maybe one of these someday I'm going to be able to thank him in person when I get there. And I'm sure my mom was standing at the pearly gates when he showed up there, part of that great celebration time. And I remember when my mom was, she was in a rest home, and she was basically was dying, and I was visiting with her, and she said, Bill, been a long time since we sang together, because now and then we would sing together. She'd play the piano and I would sing or play my trumpet, and then we'd sing once in a while a duet in church. And it had been a long, long time since we did that. And she said, when I get well, you want to sing again? And I said, Mom, I'd love to. I hadn't done it for a long time because I had a growth on my vocal cord, and I could either be involved in music and sing in the choir and do all this stuff, or I could preach. He said, you can't do both. It's too much on your vocal cord. And so back then, years ago, we were in Fort Bragg there, kind of bowed out of the whole music thing, singing much. And so we didn't get to do it that often. But you know, one of these days, her and I are going to do it again, and we'll both have the perfect voice, and we're going to sing praises to God together. Well, I elected to choose a song, that one that we sang together, and it'll be our closing song. Great is Thy Faithfulness was one of my favorites, one of our favorites. It was one that her and I sang together a couple of times, and so I think Paul might have picked that out, and I thought, perfect, because that one was in my mind when we were talking about it. And so this, for Mother's Day. So we're going to look at Psalm 100. It's not a normal Mother's Day message. But it is a reflection of my heart because of my mom and the influence she had on me. By far not the perfect mom, but she loved God and tried to be that example the best she could. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die for such an unworthy, messed up, miserable, undeserving people. And Father, we thank you that probably for, if not all of us, most of us here, we can praise you for saving us and coming into our heart and life. And we thank you, Father, for those that were used of you to touch our hearts, to give us the gospel, so that we too could say yes to you and trust you as our Savior, and at that point become a new creation, at that point become a follower of yours. And we just so thank you for that. And for some of us, it was our moms. For some of us, it was our dads. For some of us, it was other people. It could have been a pastor or a grandparent. But Father, we want to thank you for them, for their life, for their walk, for their salvation, and for the fact that they were willing to tell us. They were willing to even drag us to church sometimes as children because they wanted us to know. They wanted us to know you. And so, Father, we're so thankful for each and every one that was involved in our life. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you would take this message and encourage us, uplift us, remind us of why we have so much to be thankful for. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I want to begin our study with a question. And here's the question. How should we treat the one who loves us consistently and provides for us faithfully? How should we treat that person? Maybe it was a father, maybe it was a mother, maybe it was a brother or sister, maybe it was a friend, someone that we know loved us in spite of everything and provided for us faithfully in their lives. How should we treat them? I want to help you because I thought of 12 words. Just one word that will help us understand how we should treat them. And today, especially moms. Here's some of the words that I came up with. See if you can think of some. I had the word honor. Another one is the word respect. The word love. Adoration would be another word. Value. Bless them, praise them, and sometimes even forgive them. How about thankfulness? Taking time to thank them. Here's another one. For some of us, it's just to remember them. Another word I thought of was the word treasure. Because if you have a believing mother and she's already gone, then you have a treasure in heaven. Treasure them. And lastly, here's another one. Celebrate them. And that's what we try to do on Mother's Day. We celebrate them. But how often should we do all these things to our moms? Once a year? Would that be fine? Just on Mother's Day, or maybe it'd be good to do it once a month, or how about as often as possible? As often as possible, do these things for mom. Do you know this question that I asked, how should we treat the one who loves us consistently and provides for us faithfully? That question does not just apply to moms, but to someone else much greater, much more important than mom, even though she is so important. Who would that be? It would be Jesus Christ. It would be God. We're to honor, respect, love, adore, value, bless, praise, and thank Him for His faithfulness in our lives. Consistent, always in loving us, no matter what. Isn't that true of Him? Last week, something happened that caused all of us to rejoice, to praise God. And that was, Adam said yes. And it was so awesome for us, the previous pastor and wife, to be sitting here when the church voted on them. Because I was rooting for you and I was rooting for him, because I didn't want to have to have you go through all that again. Because it's a process and it can be difficult. It's called work. And I have a feeling there were some that felt relief when that happened, when God did that. And so this is a time of rejoicing for multiple reasons, for our salvation, for our moms, for the fact that God answered our prayers, faithful to answer our prayers, because God's raised up a man that followed God's will for his life, no matter how difficult it was, and was willing to say yes to the leading of God. Well, Psalms 100 was in my mind this last week, and it says this. I'm going to read the chapter, and the inscription at the very beginning, one of them says a psalm of thanksgiving, and another one says a psalm for giving grateful praise. And that's what I want to do today, to give grateful praise for our moms and for God and for our salvation and for those that were used of God in our lives, that taught us by example and by word. It says this in Psalm 1:1, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." In this particular psalm, there's like basically 3 points. So we have a 3-point outline. In the very first one, it says this: we are to worship God joyfully. Verse 1, the first part, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Notice the very first word in this text is the word shout, in shout to the Lord. It's capital L-O-R-D, shout to the Lord. And whenever you see the capital L-O-R-D in most of our translations, it's capitalized, it's the word Yahweh, or can be translated Jehovah. It's His proper name. And so we are to shout to the Lord Jehovah, to Yahweh, His proper name. A name so revered by the Israelites that they went, I think, a little overboard, because they wouldn't pronounce His name. I don't think God gave it to them so they wouldn't say it. And there's over 8,000 references in the Bible to the word Yahweh. And just for your added little bit of information there, if you see the small case, the little L-O-R-D, that is translating the word Adonai. And Adonai speaks of Him as Master, as Lord, as owner. And so He is not only Yahweh, the great and mighty creator God of all the universe. But he's also referred to as our Lord and Master and owner of our lives. So we're to worship Yahweh. And in that worship, according to this text, it should include shouting. Did you feel like shouting when you got the call and said, Adam said yes, that he would come, felt God was, did you feel like shouting? I mean, how would you react if all of a sudden you found out that you inherited $1 million from somebody you didn't know or didn't even know you had a relative? And I think, man, oh man, I would be shouting. And if you find yourself struggling financially, if you find yourself maybe in debt and having even trouble, how much more would you shout to the Lord in excitement? People do it all the time. Weren't they shouting when the Seattle Seahawks came back into town after winning the Super Bowl? I never got a chance to go to the Seahawks football game because I've always heard that it was the noisiest stadium in the country. And I always thought, I wonder what that would feel like when they really got to rolling, how that would feel. But we see here this word, it says, shout with joy to Yahweh in this particular text here. To help us understand a little bit more of this word, this word is also used in 1 Samuel 4:5. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 5. And in this text, the nation of Israel is just about ready to be attacked again by Babylon. And you know, so this goes over and over and over. And so they thought that maybe they could get a little help if they would take the Ark of the Covenant, bring it out and set it in the midst of the camp here. And it wasn't something that, I don't believe it was something God told them to do. I think for them it was more like carrying a rabbit's foot in your pocket when you go into battle. That's got to help, you know? And something like that is what they were doing here. But notice what it says when they brought the Ark of the Covenant, which was very important to the nation of Israel because it had three things in there. It had the tablets, which had the Ten Commandments on them. It had the Aaron's rod that budded, which was the way they picked the priesthood. And then there was the manna, a little jar or whatever of some manna in there, which took them back to when God provided them food in the wilderness. So there was this, and they brought this out, and it was important to them. And it says in chapter 4, verse 5, when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout, so great that the ground shook. That's our word, ruah. A great shout, same word that we find back in Psalm 100 when it says, ruah joyfully to Yahweh. So it wasn't just a little shout, a medium shout, it was a humongous shout from the people. Then it goes on in verse 6 and it says, hearing the uproar, which was another form of the Hebrew word shout, hearing the uproar of the people. And that was referring to the enemies that heard that in that text there. Gives us a little feeling of what God is asking us to do. Shout with joy to Yahweh. And so it's really shouting for joy to Yahweh. We might be thinking, oh, that was good for them. They're a bunch of Jews, you know, they can shout if they want. But not for me, not for us. There's no way we're going to do that. I mean, godly people wouldn't do that. We might be thinking, kind of doesn't go along with my tradition. So I don't think so. Well, let me show you that there's coming a day, yet future, when we all will shout for joy to Yahweh. And it's coming today, and you're going to be part of the group, and I'm going to be part of the group, and according to the text, we're going to be shouting to Him. And we find that in Revelation. So turn to Revelation 19, 1 to 6. Revelation 19, 1 to 6. And it says this. I think I have it there if you want to look at there. And I underlined a few verses, a few words. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are His judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants. And again they shouted, a word used four times, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Worship in heaven one day is going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be loud when we do it together. Because it says it sounds like a clap of thunder or rushing water when that takes place. And we're going to do it with great excitement when we worship. We're going to cry out, Hallelujah, in heaven. Old Testament word into the New Testament, and today and on into eternity, we find this word. That word, Hallelujah, is an interesting word. It's a compound word. It basically, you can divide it into three parts, Hallelujah. First, we have Hallel, that first part, which is the Hebrew word for praise. The word Hallel means to boast. It means to cheer. It means to celebrate. And so, one day we're going to Hallel in heaven. We're going to cheer when we finally see Jesus Christ with the nail prints in His hands and in His sides. We're going to cheer Him. I mean, those fans of the Seattle Seahawks are going to have nothing on us, because we're going to boast and cheer and celebrate God. Hallel. The second part, Lou. Hallel, the L-U there. That's that middle part we see there. A little more technical here. It's a third person plural command. Third person plural. Plural y'all. All of you. It's also a command. Whatever we're talking about here, we're commanded here to do this. So this would say this. I am commanding you all to praise. I'm commanding you all to cheer, to celebrate, to shout, Hallelujah. And what He's saying here in this group, and let's say we're in heaven and we're doing it and we're all crying out, Hallelujah. We're saying and commanded, and I'm turning to you saying, Hallelujah. You're saying, Hallelujah to me. We're encouraging each other to say Hallelujah, to praise Him to one another. Hallelujah. Amazing word. Praise. All of you. I'm commanding you. And then it ends with Yah. And that's just short for Yahweh again. We're told we're to praise, to cheer on, and commanded to do it. All of us. Yahweh, God. Hallel. Praise God. Verse 6, What are we to celebrate? What are we praising God for? What are we rejoicing about? Verse 6, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. Psalm 29:2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due His name. See, that's what we're doing when we say, Hallelujah. When we shout for joy to Him, we're ascribing Him glory and praise. So at the very beginning, he says, shout with joy to Yahweh. And we have a lot of reasons to do that. And one of them is because we know Him and we're going to be with Him one day when the time comes. And we can praise Him for that. We can praise Him that someone, it may have even been a mother, someone shared the truth with you, shared the gospel with you. We can praise God for that person, whoever that might be in your situation. And we can praise God for one another because we're all together commanded to say hallelujah to Him. And one day we will do that. And it will just burst forth out of us when we finally understand it all, how unworthy we really are and how wonderful life is going to be in heaven. So that's the first thing. Then the second point, it says we are to worship God with gladness. Some translations have the word worship and other translations have the word serve Him with gladness. Out of the 290 times this Hebrew word is used, sometimes it's translated as worship and other times it's translated with the word work or serve or toil. The Hebrew word means both of those things. So both are right. You can have one that says worship Yahweh. Another one says, well, serve Yahweh. Both are correct translations of the Hebrew word. But most often, the word is used describing work. God used this same Hebrew word when He put Adam in the garden and told him to work it. He told him to cultivate it or tend it. And it was used in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Adam, talking about work. And so this reveals something very important to us to remember. We are worshiping God when we work. We are worshiping God when we toil. It doesn't matter where we're working or toiling or serving. We're worshiping Him because this particular word has both of those together. He says, serve Him with gladness. Worship Him as you're serving Him with gladness. And so, the one that might be in the junior church ministering to children, they're worshiping. The worship team that's here early at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning going over the songs are worshiping. When you come here and mow the church lawn, you're worshiping as you do that. And you know that? It's not just here and now in this place. But when you're home and you're trying to take care of those toddlers, it's an act of worship. He says, worship and serve Me with gladness. Change those diapers with gladness. Mow that lawn with gladness. And it's not even that. It even extends further than that. When you go to work on Monday, that's an act of worship. Because we're to give God glory in all that we do. He's to get the praise. And so he says, do it with gladness. And I found out, as we saw in our Sunday school class, you can't worship him with gladness of heart and gripe and complain at the same time. And because they're opposites. You want to have the right attitude when you're serving, when you're working, when you're toiling, then remember that we're worshiping God and doing that, and we're to do it with gladness because of the one that we're doing it for is God Himself, is Yahweh. We're to celebrate God with gladness as we're working for Him. Serve the Lord with gladness, he says, the second point. So the first one, he says, shout to the Lord with joy because of who He is. And you know, you can do that no matter what your life is like, because you don't do it because of how things are going. You're doing it because who He is, not how things are. And so we're asked to do it in spite of how we feel, in spite of how difficult things are, because there's only one reason we do it. We do it because He's Yahweh. He's Lord God Almighty in heaven. He's our Creator, and we're the sheep of His pasture. And we know that no matter what's going on in our life, we do all we do to the glory of God, no matter what that doing might be or how difficult it might be. Never forget to shout to the Lord with joy. Why? Because He's given everything you think you want or need? No, because of who He is. And that's what we're going to do in heaven. And then we're to serve Him gladly. Why? Well, because of who He is. Because we're serving Him. We're working for Him. The third one that we have here, thank God continually, verse 4 and 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, or we could say the church doors, with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord, now He tells us why we should give thanks in all things. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations. Enter the church doors with thanksgiving. When you came in this morning, did you have a thankful, praising heart? Well, if for none other reason than who He is, we should. But this has been a great week for East Wenatchee First Baptist. Because of answered prayer and all the work that was done. And God says, I reign. It shows He reigns. And He answered our prayers. We are here not only to worship with excitement. We're here not only to serve Him gladly, but we are here to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What if He would have said no? We would have been bummed. We would have been disappointed. We would have been in the dumps. But He says, give thanks in all circumstances. So we should come even if that would have happened and been thankful to Him. So why should I worship and serve and thank God? The answer is found in verse 3 and verse 5. In verse 3, it says, the Lord is Yahweh, is Jehovah. In one word, He's the only true and living God. There's no other. He also said he's the one that made us. He made you. He made me. We're not accidents. It's not, oops, you know, whatever the parents were doing didn't work. There's no accidents because the writer says, he made us. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't come into existence by some big bang theory or whatever. He made us. So he's Lord God Yahweh, Almighty, Creator. He made us, it says here. We're the sheep of his pasture. That means he cares for us. We belong to him, the text says, and we are his sheep. This side of the cross of Christ, we are his twice over. We are first his by creation, and second, we are his by redemption. He didn't just create us, but then he went out and bought us back. That's an amazing thought. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, because of that, honor God with your bodies. You're not your own. You don't belong to you. You belong to him. You and I belong to him. Revelation 5, 9 says the same thing. And they sang a new song in heaven, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. He purchased us with his blood. That means he redeemed us. We belong to him. And because of that, we rejoice. We're full of joy. He is good, it says in verse 5, and loving and faithful, and he will be all that forever throughout all generations. Today we should be celebrating our God for his faithfulness for two reasons. One, it's Mother's Day, right? We should be praising God for motherhood. We're commanded by God to honor our moms. We don't do it because they're perfect, because they always do everything right. No. We honor them because he's perfect. Remember what Jesus said when it comes to sin. He that is without sin, you cast the first stone, whether it's at your mom or dad or friends or pastor or whatever. See, we don't have any right. We're just to honor them. We're to honor one another in life. We're to celebrate our moms today because of who God is, not because of who they are. We're to shout hallelujah, number two, because God has provided as a gift. Scripture teaches that pastors are a gift to the church. Pastors, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists are a gift. God gave you a gift this last week. And what a responsibility that we have for that gift. As he comes, remember that. Hallelujah. God answered prayer. Hallelujah. He chose to give the gift of another shepherd and pastor to come. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. He knows what he's doing. Great is His faithfulness, right? And we're going to go ahead and close with that song. And it's number 43 in your hymnal. Great is Thy faithfulness. So I'm gonna lead it here, but we're gonna sing a duet. So y'all are my mom, okay? And so we're gonna sing together. So you're taking her part in this. And so take your hymnal and turn to 43 and stand as we sing together. Great is Thy faithfulness. Number 43. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto Thee. Summer and winter and spring, time and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And we can all, there it is. Say it, go for it. Hallelujah. Yes, I was going to say, now we say what? Hallelujah, our God reigns. Father, thank You for loving us perfectly, unconditionally, and forever. And Father, we thank You for the gifts that You have given us. And there's so many. We have the gift of living in America. We have the gift of motherhood and fathers. And we have the gift especially of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, given to us as a special, unique, precious gift. Thank You, Lord, for that. And give us a good day of celebrating moms today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.